Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, New York primary day, the 19th of April. This hour of the program, a very interesting piece that was done by McClatchy newspaper. Some of you may have seen this, and it concerns the Panama Papers. According to the website of the Panama Papers, it is a global investigation into the sprawling, secretive industry of offshore that the world's rich and powerful used to hide assets and skirt rules by setting up front companies in far-flung jurisdictions. McClatchy newspapers and 350 other journalists are part of the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists who have been searching an archive that contains more than 11.5 million Mossack Fonseca documents, passports, financial records, emails. Early in April, they produced a series of articles on how business owners and politicians used offshores. And there were questions about Americans' involvement in the Panama Papers. On April 16, McClatchy published a story headlined Inside Panama Papers, Multiple Clinton Connections. The highlights, some donors to the Clinton Foundation used the Panamanian law firm for offshores. The connections come from more than 40 years that Bill and Hillary Clinton have spent in public life. And Hillary Clinton criticized those who were exposed in the Panama Papers, some who are looking to hide their wealth. This hour, Anita Kumar will be joining us from the McClatchy Washington Bureau. She has been looking particularly at the Clinton documents. We have a massive number of documents here, so that has been her focus. And yesterday, the story is starting to gain a little bit of steam. U.S. officials revealed to NBC News that they have taken part in two global meetings about the Panama Papers to plan how to use all of these leaked documents to catch criminals. They urged Americans to come clean now before illegal activity is discovered. There were discussions in Paris and in Washington between IRS and Treasury officials and their counterparts from around the world, and they are the first evidence of U.S. involvement in the growing international coalition wanting to analyze and use the data about more than 214,000 offshore companies listed by that Panamanian law firm. So this is a story that's going to keep going on for quite some time. We don't yet know how many Americans were involved, but they say that there are probably, you know, at least 1,000 and probably more. So it should be an interesting hour, and we are welcoming your phone calls, as we always do, for our guest, who is Anita Kumar. She covers the White House for McClatchy Newspapers. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Email is talk@WPR.org, Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show. We're on Twitter as well, and that's at K Dunn Show. Anita, thank you very much for joining us this hour.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
So you concentrated, and we have a massive number of documents here, you concentrated on those that concerned the Clinton associates?
Right. That's right. I actually cover Hillary Clinton in this race. So that was my concentration, along with some of my colleagues who've been looking at the Panama Papers for months now.
Mm-hmm. And you found quite a few connections with Clinton associates. Some of them are fairly recent. Some of them go quite a ways back. It was interesting to me, as I looked through your very thorough article, how many people you reached out to who had some of these connections who were found in the Panama Papers who wouldn't give you a response. No comment, no comment, no comment.
Yeah, I wonder if that's the case, though, when you're really wealthy and you're, you know, have big business interests. Sometimes you're sort of used to talking through lawyers and that sort of thing. But you're right. Most everyone did not. Everyone we reached out to did not. We did not hear from the exception being Hillary Clinton's former finance director from her first Senate campaign. So that was back in 2000. This woman and her brother both talked to us. But they said that, you know, they didn't do anything wrong, they didn't do anything illegal, but they did form a company. And that's one of the things about this. There are some people trying to hide their wealth, and there are some people doing things that are illegal, and there's some people that are doing things legally.
Mm-hmm.
So it's both.
But it's interesting that when you talk about that senior advisor to New York's Bill de Blasio and who worked with Clinton on the first Senate campaign, that the brother, she said, the woman who was the advisor said that she had no knowledge, but the brother said He didn't know why his family would be in the documents. Later, somebody must have opened an account in their names, and then later said that he set up an offshore company to export accessories from China to the U.S. So you got a lot of different stories.
Yeah, I do know that actually that's something that my colleagues, unrelated to Clinton, that people they've been contacting whose names are in the database, oftentimes they say, I don't know what you're talking about. And then later on they'll say, wait a minute. Because it's, you know, because you kind of insist, no, I see it. I see your name. They'll say, well, here's what it must be. So we've actually gotten that a lot of different times from a lot of different types of people.
Mm-hmm. And where do you go once you get that information? I didn't know about it. Or it's an account that we opened, but it's non-existent. It must be hard to dig all of this up.
It is kind of hard, and I will say that the one thing you may have heard or people may have heard about the Panama Papers is they haven't, it's such an enormous database, they haven't released it all for a variety of reasons, so they can't go and see the raw data. But we do have the documents, you know, we can print out the documents, we can show them the documents. And so, you know, I didn't even actually show him the documents. They eventually said, oh, well, here's why we must be in there.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of changed their story there.
You start your article a couple days ago saying Hillary Clinton recently blasted the hidden financial dealings exposed in the Panama Papers, calling outrageous tax havens and loopholes that super rich people across the world are exploiting. Some of this behavior, she said, is clearly against the law. Everyone who violates the laws anywhere should be held accountable. But then you write that she and her husband have multiple connections with people who have used the law firm to establish offshore entities.
Right. I think that's the interesting part is that she did talk about it, and she did, you know, not only blast, you know, the dealings, but really her quote and her comments about it really go to the heart of here, you know, these people and what this behavior is. You know, unclear to me whether at that time she knew she had any connections or had she thought about it. I don't really know. I will say that, you know, on the campaign trail, Bernie Sanders, her opponent, is talking about this issue a lot. The broader issue of, you know, offshores and people trying to, you know, scam the government, not pay their fair share of taxes and be regulated. But he's specifically talking a lot about the Panama Papers. He's put out a few statements. He's talked about it in different speeches. You know, there's a YouTube video floating around from some years back where he likes to say that he predicted that this would happen, that Panama has such lax rules that people could go there and do this exact thing. So I feel like she must have had to, you know, say something about it. It was out there. It was the big news of the day, and her opponents talking about it so much.
Mm-hmm. You asked for a reaction from her campaign spokesman, Brian Fallon, who declined to answer questions, you say, about her connections, but referred to her earlier comments that criticized the behavior.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it's a little unclear to me whether he realized that, you can read this and see that she's criticized these people, and then now she has people in there. Unclear to me whether he realized that, you know, you might read that and think that's a little hypocritical, or, you know, they just thought her comments were very strong and stood for themselves. But, I mean, they were clear. I told them, here are the people that we found in the database.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they knew that.
I don't know how to pronounce his name, but this one really is far-reaching as I read it. The director of the Eurasia Energy, who had money in the British Virgin Islands offshore company. A lot of these people had money in the British Virgin Islands.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a big place.
Yeah.
But this is a story that goes pretty far. Can you tell us how he is named in the Panama Papers?
You were referring to Frank Giustra?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, for listeners, they might actually know that name just because he has been in the news, or he was in the news a lot last year. He is a major, major donor to the Clinton Foundation, which is the family's foundation that Hillary Clinton was working at, and obviously her husband heads up and her daughter works at. And he's given he's told some other reporters last year that he gave about $100 million, or he's committed, I should say, he's pledged $100 million. I don't know that he's given it all yet. He's, he's obviously very wealthy. He's from Canada. He's has a mining company, and he also has his own plane. And he has given Bill Clinton rides to various places around the world, a couple dozen times, I think it is. And so they've been, you know, I don't know what you would call them, friends or business associates, but they obviously know each other pretty well, Bill Clinton and Frank Giustra.
And he was buying uranium mines for $500 million in Kazakhstan. He joined Bill Clinton in Kazakhstan, dined with him and with the Kazakhstan president. The timing, you write, prompted questions about whether Clinton played any role in that agreement.
Right, and he has said, Frank Giustra has said, absolutely not, that the deal was in the works for months and had nothing to do with Bill Clinton. Just coincidence they flew together to that country. Coincidence that they had dinner that night or the night before that the deal was announced, but that they had been working on it for quite some time and Bill Clinton had nothing to do with it.
And a message for him was not returned.
Right, that's correct. Same with Bill Clinton. I did speak to the foundation, but they declined to comment for the story as well as Bill Clinton's office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It does make you, if she is the nominee of the Democratic Party, I was thinking about this as I was reading everything, you can just imagine the Republicans who are now combing through all of this, who it's a complicated story, but it would strike me, unless you have Republican candidates, and who knows at this point, there may be some of them who have a lot of associates who also have dealings offshore and are engaged in some questionable activities. But it's striking to me that this could be fodder for a general election campaign, don't you think?
Oh, I definitely think. I mean, you saw some, you know, when our story came out, you saw some of the opposition groups, the conservative groups,
yes,
the Republican National Committee sending the story out. So I definitely think it could be. I think it also depends a little bit on who their nominee is and what kind of dealings he has. I mean, you know, the people that advocate for less money in politics say that only the wealthy can run for president, and that's the problem here. And so, you know, depending on who it is on the other side, Donald Trump obviously has a lot of money as well. So the issue could go both ways.
Yeah. This other guy, Ning, is that how you pronounce it? One of the world's wealthiest men from China. This is quite a story, too. Goes way back.
Yeah. It is an interesting story. He's actually had some recent troubles as well. But the part that goes way back, and for people who were remembering Bill Clinton's presidency, this might ring a bell, but there was a fundraising scandal with the Democratic National Committee. This man, although he was not charged, he was supposedly at the center of a fundraising scandal. He sent money to a restaurant owner in Little Rock, Arkansas, which is obviously where Bill Clinton is from, Arkansas, where he was governor, and this restaurant owner in turn sent it to the Democratic National Committee. That is not legal, and he was charged and convicted for that. But the Chinese billionaire that you mentioned had never been charged, but his name was widely associated with it, and the Senate and House both investigated and named him.
And then the story goes on. This guy is amazing. Last year, you write, charged with bribing a UN official and lying about what he was doing with $4.5 million in cash that he brought to the country.
Yeah, it wasn't all at once. He had brought money, just cash, at various times. And he had said, he had told U.S. officials that he was going to use it to buy art and antiques. And go to different places, but in fact what they say he's doing and what they've charged him with doing is bribing a UN official to get some of his business deals in various places. So that was a while ago, and he has given up his right to a speedy trial, and it still hasn't gone anywhere. The trial hasn't started yet.
And former fugitive billionaire Mark Rich, no longer alive, but tell his story.
Sure. People will definitely probably remember his name from Bill Clinton days. Bill Clinton did this very controversial thing hours before he left the White House. He pardoned a bunch of people, and Mark Rich was one of them. He was a fugitive at the time, and I think I read something that Bill Clinton said many years later that was probably the worst thing he did politically, that it just wasn't a politically smart move because it has tarnished his reputation, that he gave this guy... basically just let him off right as he was leaving office. So Mark Rich's name is actually not in there. He was one of the people we first looked at. We had a list of people that we were looking at. But we did find that the company he used was in there. So it's interesting. There's a lot of documents and a lot of companies, and sometimes the names show up on there and sometimes they don't. But it was the company that used the law firm, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Mark Rich has since passed away.
Mm-hmm. So you had names you were specifically looking for?
Some of them. Well, obviously, we looked at Bill and Hillary Clinton, Chelsea Clinton, their son-in-law, and then some others just kind of popped out. Remember, you mentioned this earlier, that it's a huge, huge database. So a lot of how this works is you're just not looking at every single name. It's just not even possible in, you know, a short period of time. So some of the people we did look up, I mean, we sure did want to look up if Bill and Hillary Clinton and Chelsea Clinton were in there, and we did not find any sign of it. But, you know, there were some people, you know, when we thought about the Clintons, there were some people that we thought, hey, we should we should look up these people. Now, that's not how all of these people came about, because to be honest, some of them I hadn't really heard of, and I didn't really know what the connection was until we started digging.
Mm-hmm. There have been people, you talked to people who had different opinions about this. The director of the Morris Institute for Public Opinion says that it draws voters' attention to Clinton's ties to big money and certainly would play into Bernie Sanders' narrative, does it?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that's the thing about this. The Panama Papers is a little bit hard to understand. There's a lot of information there. But the bottom line, I think, for her, and definitely, you know, we're not saying she did anything wrong. We're not saying Bill Clinton did anything wrong. But the problem for her is that she's had this perception for months and months, really the entire campaign and many years of her public life, that they are, the Clintons and Hillary Clinton are, you know, wealthy, out of touch, you know, involved with big money. She's still getting negative publicity for her big speaking fees. You know, she gave speeches for $200,000-$300,000. You know, she had her books. He had books. So they definitely are wealthy people. And that's the thing that Bernie Sanders is tapping into, that he's sort of an everyday guy and she's out of touch. She's the establishment. She's rich. You know, she doesn't, you know, I think it was that time she said she hadn't driven a car in years, or, you know, I think all politicians sort of face that problem, is that people want them to be able to relate to everyday Americans. And this is her problem, is that she hasn't really been able to do that. So this is just more. It's just another reason to say, oh, she's not like us.
Mm-hmm. You quote, however, the policy director of the Campaign Legal Center, a nonpartisan nonprofit organization, saying they've been in public life so long, when you enter that sphere, you have these connections.
Right. And I definitely think that's true. I mean, you know, it's remarkable how many times over the last year, as I've been reporting things, there's like a, you know, that thing people say about Kevin Bacon, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Right.
There's a lot of connections to the Clintons. They have been around a long time, you know, from her dealings in the Senate, him being president, governor, all the things they've done with the Clinton Foundation, Clinton Global Initiative. They know a lot of people. And that's not, there's nothing wrong with that, of course. It's just that you can kind of tie a lot of things. Sometimes they don't want to be tied back to someone. There they are. You know, they just can't help it because they've met that person or they've done business with that person.
And what about the Republican candidates? Will there be a thorough search of their names or their associates' names in the Panama Papers, Anita?
Stay tuned.
Ah.
You never know what's coming.
When are we going to know what's coming, Anita?
Well, we'll see. You know, that's the thing about the Panama Papers is, you know, my colleagues have been looking at this for months and months, you know, and the other people that were involved, the 350 journalists, with this idea that they would all be produced, you know, everybody would produce stories at the same time, which was a couple weeks ago, right? The embargo was lifted and everybody could produce. But, you know, as I've said, it's a huge database. We're still working on stories that hadn't been started before. We're still looking through things. So I think you're going to see a lot more stories all around the world still coming out.
Mm-hmm. And was everybody aware? This hasn't been widely reported. I don't know if it was a secret meeting, but this meeting that took place in Paris and Washington, IRS and Treasury officials and their counterparts from around the world, looking at the first evidence, and some of it is your reporting, of U.S. involvement in the international coalition, eager to analyze and use the data about the more than 214,000, there are a lot of those, offshore companies. So this has become, do you think, a fairly significant global IRS and counterpart around the world investigation?
Right. Well, I mean, I really do. We've obviously seen in, you know, Iceland and other countries where there's been immediate repercussions in England, you know, with the prime minister. But I think as things still come out, it's gonna take a while. And because the decision was made so far anyway to not put the database out there for public consumption, things are sort of trickling out. And so I think that there'll be a lot of meetings like this and people still trying to figure out what's in there for some time. The thing you mentioned about the Americans is really interesting, because we were the U.S. Newspaper partner. So a lot of the other people were the international. Most of everybody else was the international in other countries. And there was a lot of sort of immediate repercussions. It's determining the precise number of the Americans in the data has been difficult. I think you mentioned that early on. There are at least 200 scanned individual U.S. passports, but it's it's for all different reasons. So it's sort of hard to tell how many people are involved and exactly what they were doing. So just to give you an example, some of the people in there that are Americans look to be retirees that are purchasing real estate in places like Costa Rica and Panama. You can also be in the database if you, there's, I think you mentioned, 3,500 shareholders of offshore companies who list U.S. addresses. Not really clear if that's an American or not. And then there's companies that are tied to offshore professionals based in New York, Miami, and other parts of the United States. So it's sort of determining, it's an interesting thing because it's raw data that we're looking at. And so we're trying to determine what those things mean, and so is everybody else.
Right. It's a phenomenal amount of money, though, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's, you know, you kind of hear about these things. People talk about, oh, well, they're stashing their money somewhere, but here's the evidence. I mean, here it is,
right,
that we're learning about it.
Yeah, and it's bringing some heads of state down.
Yeah, it's been amazing sort of how quick that happened. I mentioned Iceland, and David Cameron's having some trouble in England, and actually all sorts of U.S. allies are involved. And I know at the White House they've been asked lots of questions about, well, you know, what about our allies? You know,
right,
I judge them, and, you know, they've been quick to say, well, we haven't seen the data, and we're not going to judge anyone. It's their problem. They have to kind of deal with their own constituents. But, yeah, it's been remarkable. It's how quickly things happen when a lot of the information still coming out.
Yeah. Well, we'll be interested in seeing what else comes out here. We're speaking with Anita Kumar this hour of the program. She covers the White House for McClatchy Newspapers and has been covering the Clinton campaign. McClatchy is the U.S. partner of this international consortium that has been looking at the involvement of U.S. officials and U.S. citizens in this Panama paper. There are 350 journalists all over the world part of this consortium, and they're going through a massive number of documents, passports, financial records, emails, 11.5 million of them. We're looking at what we're beginning to learn about Americans' involvement, and our guest wrote a piece that just appeared a couple days ago looking at major Clinton financial partners, not Bill or Hillary Clinton or Chelsea Clinton or her husband, but people who were pretty closely associated with them, some of them going way back, some more recent. There is an involvement of some of these people giving major money to the Clinton Foundation. And all of this is taking place, of course, during a campaign season where particularly Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump are railing against those who, the billionaire class, and their tax shelters, and you know what the story is here. It's a big issue in the campaign. So this is the first we're hearing about major American officials, and she said, stay tuned. We may hear about some Republicans who are running for president who may somehow be on the list, or their associates are. But to couple that with this story that appeared yesterday, which hasn't been widely reported, that there are now discussions in Paris and Washington, IRS and Treasury officials and their counterparts from around the world looking at U.S. involvement. The IRS says it is participating in a special project, and they urged any U.S. citizen or company that may have money in offshore accounts to contact the agency now before any possible illegal activity on their part is identified. The documents contain information on potentially thousands of U.S. citizens and firms that at least have an indirect connection to offshore accounts affiliated with Mossack Fonseca. All right, what do you think of all of this? Here is our phone number, 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Lines are open for you right now. Our email is talk@WPR.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we are on Twitter, and that's at K Dunn Show. Do you think that you would like to know a lot more about the U.S. citizens, other people in politics who are involved here? The information, as Anita said, is just beginning to be gleaned, and you have to go through all of it, and then there will be more coming, obviously. There are thousands of U.S. citizens involved in this. Is this a big deal to you? Is this just sort of the way that business is done done and has been done. So you can't fault politicians for the connections they have with people or companies that did hid offshore money and then gave money to campaigns. Or does that connection trouble you in some way? We certainly welcome your phone calls, and we have one line open now for you if you'd like to call us. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, we have a number of people calling in, and we are going to go to your phone calls. The number again is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Anita Kumar is our guest. Anita covers the White House for McClatchy Newspapers. They are going to be publishing a lot as they go through these Panama Papers and American citizens or associates of theirs who are there. They've looked at the Clinton Foundation, Hillary and Bill Clinton, and Chelsea Clinton, and haven't found their names there, but have found a number of associates who have donated money subsequently to the Clintons and to the foundation in these papers. And Anita wrote about it just a couple days ago in McClatchy Newspapers. All right, let's go to Pat in Fond du Lac, our first caller for you, Anita. Hi, Pat.
Hi. Who originally released or leaked the Panama Papers, and why would they do that? That's a lot of information.
Okay, well, we haven't really actually, I don't think it's actually known what where the full leak came from, but it was given to, I think there's been a couple stories out there, it was first given to someone, and then what happened was this unprecedented group of journalists got together all over the world to look through it and cover it. But yes, it was a leak, just like so many other leaks that we've heard about, Edward Snowden and other places. I believe it's the largest financial data leak ever.
It is huge.
It is huge. And that's actually one of the reasons that the entire, you know, I'm sure there's many reasons, but one of the reasons that the entire database hasn't been put out there is fears that it will, you know, that's not fair to some people to put out all this raw data online.
Thank you, Pat, very much for your call. Susan in Dubuque, Iowa. Hi, Susan.
You're said simple.
Susan, you want to turn your radio down, please?
Put out all this.
Susan, I'll let you do that, and we'll get back to you. You have to turn your radio down, or you can't talk. It gets confusing. Maddie in Waupaca. Hi.
Hi. Is there any chance that this will come out before the political convention so we know if they're pricking crooks or not? And also, I wanted to ask, does this kind of tie in with, there was a 60 Minutes show, maybe January 21st or so, where they said that the United States had become the number one money laundering country in the world? I have those questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Manny.
I didn't catch the first one. Will this come up before the conventions? I mean, as we said before, information's coming out all the time. And so, you know, people have to make their judgments on the information they have. So they could read what we've published and what other people have published and see if that has anything to do with, you know, who they want to vote for. I'm not familiar with that 60 Minutes piece. This is actually because this law firm was in Panama. That's the reason we're calling it the Panama Papers. It's actually Panama's laws that we're looking at that are pretty lax and that allows these things to happen. It's one law firm that all these people are connected with. So I'm sure the U.S. has its own problems with laws, but this is actually relating to Panama.
Mm-hmm. And how hard is it? Tell me about releasing the information. You have 350 journalists. Are you able to go through how many pages a day? How often can you generate stories from the number of people working on it?
We've had, you know, my colleagues, I think I mentioned, had been working on this for, I don't know, 6 months or something before the date that everybody published. Everybody was sort of involved together, so everybody took the time to do that. But my colleagues are publishing, you know, we have, since the date where the information came out or was allowed to come out that everybody agreed upon, you know, we've had dozens of stories, both here from Washington and Washington, and then some of our newspapers did their own stories based on this. But it's not a question of, I mean, every journalist is probably doing it differently. You know, I don't know that we're just going through every single, you know, to go through every single name just in order would take forever.
Right.
So I think that we're all kind of looking at, obviously, the international journalists are looking at connections to their countries. We're looking at connections to or in this case, Hillary Clinton, or, you know, other people that might be of interest or big names in the United States. So everybody's kind of doing it differently. The connection, of course, is that everybody had the same information, was trained on how to look at this and agreed to abide by and by the same rules and had a collaborative effort.
Mm-hmm. Susan in Dubuque, let's try you again. Hi, Susan. Susan. All right, let's go to Deborah in Milwaukee. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, I was curious with the release of the Panama Papers, if this is going to put pressure on states like Delaware, Wyoming, Nevada, who are known for their shell, making it easy to set up a corporation. And in fact, Money Market on NPR set up a company in Delaware, and they didn't have to give any ID, and within 15 minutes, they had a company. And I know this is happening in other places besides Panama around the world, but are we going to really put a magnifying glass on these states that allow these kind of easy companies to be set up and then not share any of the information of who runs the company, who benefits from the company, et cetera?
I think that's a great question. And the thing is, this is just another example of that. And I do think it would put some pressure. But so far, Congress hasn't looked like they're really, at least you mentioned in the United States, Congress has, knows about some of these things and hasn't really been interested in really pushing back on this. Obviously, there'll be pressure worldwide in Panama and elsewhere. But I don't know how far it's going to go in the United States. Clearly, lawmakers, members of Congress, the White House, people are talking about it, but if that translates into action, I'm just not sure.
Mm. And what about action among and reaction among the American public? Is there a lot of outrage about the millions of dollars that aren't coming home? They're going to somebody else's pockets?
You know what's been really interesting, at least for the people that I've heard of, I think that there has been a strong reaction, but then there's also been sort of, that people are upset. But there's also sort of been this thing where people say, it's sort of what I expected. Where a lot of people are really cynical and really think that this is going on but didn't really have the proof, and here's the proof that we've all kind of talked about. So there's been sort of that kind of response.
Mm-hmm. And the money, I was interested in reading your piece that it seemed as though a lot of this money was stashed in the British Virgin Islands. Why is that, and did you find other places where the money was going?
Yeah, I think we found some other places, Bahamas, but you're right. Most of the places were the British Virgin Islands. I mean, obviously, there are definitely some places that are, it's all about the laws and what is allowed and not allowed. So there's definitely some places that are more easier to leave your money, I guess. But yes, we had many, many places.
Hmm. Our phone number for you to join our conversation, our lines are open at this point. Anita Kumar is our guest. She covers the White House for McClatchy Newspapers, and she is co-author of a piece that appeared a couple days ago in the papers, Major Clinton Financial Partners Made Use of the Panamanian Law Firm Mossack Fonseca to Move Assets Around the World. This after Hillary Clinton blasted the hidden financial dealings exposed in the Panama Papers, calling outrageous tax havens and loopholes that super rich people across the world are exploiting. Some of the behaviors, she said, clearly against the law, and everybody who violates the law should be held accountable. Anita's reporting shows that she and her husband have multiple connections with people who have used the law firm to establish offshore entities, and people who have given substantial amounts of money to the Clinton Foundation. So that's what we're talking about this hour. Obviously, massive amount of documents. There will be more released in the coming days. Anita says, stay tuned. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, where we like to read your comments. And we're also on Twitter, and that is @KDunnShow. So that's a way for you to reach this conversation. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go to phone calls. More phone calls. Reed in Clintonville is next. Hi, Reed.
Yes, good afternoon. I understand that the article that was written by your guest here, Kathleen, was concerning the Clintons primarily, but I hear the Clintons' name repeated over and over again, but there's not any relationship or reference to anyone else like Mr. Trump or Mr. Cruz or any of the other former candidates for president and the gentleman's name escapes me, John Kasich. I think that those names need to be brought to the fore as possible candidates for being associated with these Panama Papers as well. Nobody ever speaks about these people. And I thank you very much for this opportunity to at least make this comment.
Yeah, thanks, Reed. Anita.
Well, I would just respond that I think I mentioned earlier, we're looking into things, and as we get information or as we plow through the documents and the database, we are putting things out there. So we're not done yet, and I would just say stay tuned, like I said before. You know, one of my colleagues in the previous story that mentioned some of the Americans, people keep asking, where are the Americans in this? One of them someone who used to work for Mitt Romney and who I think had a similar answer, which was, I don't know what that is, but I remember what it is now, and here's what it is. So we're not ignoring people. We are checking on things and looking into things, but I think it's important now that, you know, as we get information, we put it out there and not hold on to it. And, you know, once we were ready with the story, we put it out there.
Is it easier to get some records than others? I'm thinking about the Clintons' long, long time in public service in this country. Would it be easier to get something on them than, say, Donald Trump?
Well, I mean, that's the thing, unrelated to the Panama Papers, I'll say in general, that is an interesting issue. With the Clintons, we know a lot of the names and people that have been, you know, have worked for them or associated with them because they've been in public life for 40 years. Donald Trump has never been in, he's been in public life, but obviously not political office. So there's that big difference. The other thing is, and this is just on a journalism level, there are so many, as I mentioned before, it's raw data. So there's a name, you know, Joe Smith is in there. Well, how do we know this is the Joe Smith that we think it is? There's a lot of work that goes into trying to verify who that person is. It's not, we can't just say, here's this person, we think they're associated. You know, a lot of our work is trying to figure out who that person was in connection with, what do they do, where are they. You know, we had to make sure these were the people that we were talking about. They could have similar names, the same.
Sure.
So there's a lot of journalism and a lot of research that goes into it. You know, unfortunately, the database doesn't tell us, well, this person knows Hillary Clinton, this person knows Donald Trump. It doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm. Reed, thanks for your call. Margie in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. Two quick points. First of all, at first I'm thinking, well, you know, it wasn't Hillary's money, so it's not important to me if it's her friends. But then I started thinking, what the heck? That is important, and I would really like to know everybody in Congress that has ties to that kind of money, because that's why things aren't changing. And my second point is, I am so impressed that 300-plus journalists all over the world were able to keep this under wraps and coordinated for a year. I mean, I'm really stoked with what that says about what things can be done on an international thing with playing field together. It is really cool.
Like I said before, this was the largest leak. I believe it was also the largest collaboration. So I second what she said there. I mean, it's very interesting how that works and, you know, how that was organized and put together. So I definitely agree. You know, on her first point, I would say that, yes, definitely. You can say the Clintons, you know, we looked, we didn't see their names in there. And so what if these are other people? But I will say that this election, Democrat, Republican, either side, doesn't matter, independents, the biggest theme of this election is people are fed up. We've heard that over and over. And one of the big things they're fed up is, you know, things aren't working. There's too much money in politics. And that whole theme. It's a theme of, I'm not doing well, but you're doing great. You know, these select people. And so in that vein, I think that I think it's fair anyway. But I do think it goes to the heart. This actually is interesting timing. It goes to the heart of what this election is about. And so for me, I think that it's even more important right now.
Mm-hmm. And there's also a question of pay for play. If if indeed the former president of the United States is paving the way for a billionaire to get a mining contract in Russia and then subsequently gives a lot of money to the Clinton Foundation, there's something that, you know, you raise your eyebrows about that.
Right. And I will say on Hillary Clinton, I'm not going to say this about every politician because I haven't seen what everybody said. Actually, the Republicans haven't said much about the Panama Papers, but she actually, you know, made a point of saying how horrible this was.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that sort of put it in a different realm. she's talking about the people in there and what a horrible thing they did by using these loopholes or whatever laws they were allowed to use. Well, to me, that shows that we should hold her accountable. She's complaining and criticizing these people. Well, we got to show that she does know these people. These people worked for her. These people gave money to her, or her husband, or her foundation.
Thanks, Margie, for the call. Ron in Green Bay. Hi.
Hi. Two questions. One, I wonder if your guest has had or anticipates any pressure from uncovering these things. And two, has there been any plans to cover or to follow cover-ups that might exist these revelations?
I missed the whole middle part of that sentence. What was that, Ryan? Has there been any plans to what?
To follow up on any cover-ups that might come from the revelation of this.
Okay, thank you.
I think that journalists all over the world are looking at, I don't know if I'd call them cover-ups because I don't know exactly what they are, but I mean, in each country, I think everybody, the reporters are looking at sort of what their public officials and others have done. But in some cases, they weren't illegal. In some cases, it was allowed. I mean, I guess the issue is, in some ways, these it might be to hide money, but the way they went about it was legal, if that makes sense. So I think people need to look at the cover-ups, as he said, but they also need to look at what laws are on the books and mm-hmm. what's allowed and not allowed.
Mm-hmm. And as a result of all this investigation, do you think those laws will be changed and it will become much more difficult to put your money offshore?
You know, I don't know about the other countries because I don't really know how they work. I will say covering the White House and covering Congress, it's hard to get things done here in the United States. Nobody agrees. People are protecting other people. I just think it takes a really, really, really big push to change something on Capitol Hill. And so, I don't know. I mean, I definitely think people are talking about it, and I definitely think there's pressure. But I feel like that happens a lot, and then still nothing happens.
Right.
So it's really, I don't know.
You, of all people, must see that every day, Anita.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
sure you do.
Yeah.
Ken in Dubuque, hi.
Hi. NPR enrages me. I get so worked up. I pulled over, had to stop. All the politics aside, I don't know why we can't just go to the root of it, the ethical sense of it. Just because we can put money offshore as Americans, should we be doing this? We're here to be supporting our country. Our taxes are what we do that with, yet we have so many people hiding the money. Even if it's legal, and it just enrages me. So I'm hoping these reporters will speak to some of the ethics behind all of this when they start revealing everything to us.
Thank you, Ken. Glad you pulled over so you could be safe for the call.
Me too.
Yeah.
You know, I totally agree. I mean, that it just goes back to what I was saying, and I guess I'm being a little cynical here, just being in Washington where a lot of things don't get done. But he's right. I mean, but you need a lot of people to say they shouldn't be doing that, or you need a big public outcry. You need a lot of things to happen to sort of push people to action, either to change the laws or just not to do it in the first place because of the publicity. And I'm not sure that we're there, but maybe we will be if people keep pushing and things keep coming out.
Mm-hmm. Dave wants to know, email, if anyone has done the math on the tax losses of this.
I'm not aware of that. I don't know. And I think one of the reasons is because there's a lot of data here, but you can't really tell in many cases exactly how much money is there. In some cases you can. In some cases you can't. You can't tell what the money is there. So I'm not aware that anyone has been able to do the math because I don't think we know all the numbers.
Hmm. And what about this law firm? How does everybody know about this law firm? And are there a lot of other law firms like this?
I guess if you and I had the money, we might know about it.
I guess so, Anita.
I guess it was not, it's so funny because we think it's this law firm that's, not really well known, but I guess some people knew about it. I guess if you go if you're in certain circles, you probably did know about it. And no, I'm definitely sure that there are other law firms just like it.
Yeah. Our phone number, we're getting toward the last few minutes of the show, but if you want to join the conversation, now is the time to call. Thank you, Ken and Dubuque, for calling. Anita Kumar is our guest. She covers the White House for McClatchy Newspapers. wrote a piece that caught our attention because we have wondered, as the Panama Papers came out, why it is that we didn't see a lot of U.S. citizens in the information. And she and a co-author have been looking, and it's, you know, it's quite a job to do this, have been looking, McClatchy has, at various politicians and others, Americans, on the list. So they have found out that major Clinton financial partners have made use of the Panamanian law firm Mossack Fonseca to move their assets around the world. And there was a piece that appeared in McClatchy a couple of days ago that looked at Hillary Clinton blasting the financial dealings exposed in the Panama papers. But as Anita would say, there may be some hypocrisy here because she and her husband have many connections with people who have used the law firm to establish offshore entities. Anita tells us, you know, this is the beginning, that we can expect a lot more of this. And then, interestingly enough, which I, you know, I feel like this story is front and center. Then last week, it turns out there are these huge international conversations going on in Paris and also in Washington between IRS and Treasury officials and those who are similar to those organizations all over the world. The first evidence of U.S. involvement in the growing international coalition analyzing and using this data about more than 214,000, can you believe there are many, that many offshore companies listed by that Panamanian law firm. The IRS said, hey, if you're an American citizen or a company that has money in this offshore account, you better contact the IRS right now before there is any possible illegal activity on their part that is identified, because then you could be in trouble. And some are already in trouble around the world. So is this a big thing to you? Is this, well, this is the way business is done? Or does it resonate with one of the campaign themes here, that if you're a billionaire, if you have a whole lot of money, you can just stash it away offshore, and there's a morality issue here? What do you think? 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. Get your calls in quickly. Anita, what do you think about the response to this? Do you think this is going to really blow up and be front and center in newspapers all over this country pretty soon?
Oh, I definitely think there will be more to come, and I definitely think it'll be, there'll be more and more papers, more information out there. And then we haven't mentioned, but you saw that the authorities in Panama raided the law firm. So you mentioned the IRS was looking, but I think that also we'll get more information will be coming out because of whatever the police activity is there.
Mm-hmm. And when can we expect that?
I don't know. I mean, they just raided it. It took them a couple weeks till that after the first story started coming. I think it was raided last week. So, you know, I'm sure there's going to be multiple investigations, different countries, and we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah. And how are you looking at all this information? Is it on a computer and you have to go through? Oh.
Yes. Yeah. And so that's why I was mentioning searching. But yes, it's a database, of a computer database.
Yeah. And so are you currently looking at other people right now?
I'm not this second, but we are looking at other people. I think you've asked about a couple people. And so, we have several people. Many colleagues are looking up names relating to different connections to different places in the country. And you mentioned, you asked about some other. Are we looking at all the candidates? Are we looking at Republicans and Democrats? I think we're looking at all those things.
Yeah. And has anybody responded to you? Are people saying good work, Anita, or are you getting pushback from any places?
Oh, well, you know, those that are favoring Hillary Clinton, I think some people are saying, you know, why is it just Hillary Clinton, or you're always after Hillary Clinton? I will say that every time we write articles about Hillary Clinton, we get people complaining about it, you know, if it's something that's not positive. But, you know, no, a ton of other people have sent us notes that have said good work, and that it, you know, it takes a lot of research, and they realize that. I think this just goes back to what I said about sort of the mood in the country. Doesn't matter, you know, if you're a Democrat or Republican, that people are fed up, and they appreciate it. They want more information.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure many people are looking at it and eagerly awaiting the next exposé. Thank you so much, Anita, for being with us. We appreciate it.
Sarah, thanks for having me.
Anita Kumar, she covers the White House for McClatchy Newspapers, also has been covering the Clinton campaign, Hillary Clinton campaign, pretty extensively. And the piece, I believe, is on our Facebook page. If you missed it, it was McClatchy Newspapers, ran it a couple days ago, I think on Sunday. It was on Sunday. And it will be on our Facebook page, which is The Kathleen Dunn Show, where we always like to read your comments. What do you think about what we talked about this hour? If you didn't get on the air, send us a note. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing this interesting hour, and thanks to KP as well for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee. News is next. We'll return.